Well, the subject, or actually the title of this, is Sanctification, and that is actually the subject. I felt the leading of the Lord to go back to basics, and I know a lot of you have been here, have walked with the Lord for a long time, and you've probably heard a lot of this information, but it's always good for us to go back to the foundation of foundational things in the Word of God. And I know that there's many new people, and hopefully they'll get the tape. Maybe some of them are here today, but maybe some of them aren't, so hopefully they'll get the tape. But this is sanctification. Now, I'll mention a lot of scriptures, and I won't tell you where they're at, but if you want afterwards, there's too many. And so afterwards, if you want my notes, I'll be glad to give them to you, and it does have the scriptural references in the notes as well. So some of them I'll refer to, some of them I won't. Now, we find that we're not only delivered from the guilt of sin, which is justification. Jesus went before the highest court in the universe and he said, "Father, they're guilty, but I pay the price for them. I'll pay the price." You see, we were justified by Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Now, it is just as if we've never sinned once we receive Christ. And then God sees us sanctified in Jesus Christ, sanctification. And that is provisional. He's provided that for us. But we have to walk on it or walk in it. We can't improve on our standing, and we don't have to because the new man is perfect within us. It's Christ's life that's within us. Then we actually have victory over the power of sin, which is sanctification. Now, it is the Father's will for our sanctification. That's his will. The word sanctification means purification or the state of purity. Our standing in Christ, as I said, never changes. We're sons of God. The minute and the moment we receive Christ into our lives as our Lord and Savior. But our state, it means that we're laying hold of it. It means that it's something that's practical in our walk. It's God's will in our lives that we walk in this new life. And this is our sanctification. It's a progressive, purifying, perfecting work that the Holy Spirit is doing within us because of the life of Christ within us. And it's accomplished in us, again, by the Holy Spirit as he makes this divine union experimental. So we experiment this. We experiment this in our walk with Christ. Now, thereby, he separates us from everything that is not in conformity to the will of God in spirit, soul, and body, all three of those. Sanctification also heals the body. Now, the new birth did not change the old creation tendencies, as you know. We have those old creation tendencies, and how are we to deal with those tendencies? Now, Colossians 3:5 says, it tells us that we're to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, what does it mean to mortify? It means that we're to hold it in the death state. Now, how do we do that? It's by believing that we've been crucified with Christ, isn't it? Our old man was crucified with Christ that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now, this body of sin, Brother Hill has taught us many, many times that this body is like a body of water. It's entire sin. It's all of sin. So our old man was crucified with Christ that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should no longer be subservient to the sin. In John 17:19, it says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that also they might be sanctified through the truth." So here Jesus is also sanctified. Now, how did Christ sanctify himself and the believers? Jesus set himself apart to the cross. For us, it is on the basis of his sanctification on the cross that we're sanctified, or we'd never be sanctified. Our sanctification, or being set apart, our purity, we're sanctified through the truth, through the Word of God. Brother Hill used to give us an example. If you buy a set of new dishes, okay, we will wash them before using them, correct? A brand new believer is like a set of new dishes. He has to be washed in the water of his word before he can be used. Paul said in Ephesians 5:26, he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And let me tell you, if a person is not washed by the Apostle Paul's gospel, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he can't be used. He can't be used. So washed in the water of his word, which is the truth. Then we have the word flesh. And many use it in different ways and different senses, and they use it incorrectly. But it has many uses in Scripture, and sometimes it stands for an animal, and sometimes it stands for mankind. In its most frequent use in Paul's writings, it's in reference to our human nature. Whenever the word carnal occurs in the Bible, it also means fleshly. The carnal mind never means sin. They're not the same thing. Paul distinguishes clearly between sin and flesh. He says that the sin dwells in the flesh and it operates through the flesh. Sin is a power that's in this world. We know that. We see it all around us. And it can only operate in the fleshly nature or this carnal nature. Romans 7:17 says it's no more. He says, then it's no more I, that is sin, that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that's in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. By sending his Son, God condemned sin in the flesh. That's spoken of in Romans 8. Also, the carnal mind is not eradicated. It is very important that we see the difference between flesh and indwelling sin. Flesh and indwelling sin. Flesh or carnality and sin cannot be treated as the same thing. They're not the same. They're different. Sin weakened and it corrupted the flesh. Now, when we by faith appropriate our redemption rights and we believe on Christ and what he did at the cross, we're made free from sin. Romans 6 and so forth through that chapter, it says that. And the flesh is kept in the death state by faith in the indwelling Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's so important to be filled. Being then made free from sin, you become now servants of righteousness. There was a day before we were saved that we were obligated to sin. That's the only thing we could do is sin. An unbeliever, that's all he can do is sin. We could not help this. But now we walk in the Spirit and we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, Galatians says. The Apostle Paul says the same thing about the crucifixion and death of I and me and of the body. He says this about the old man as well. You see, this old nature can manifest itself through sin as it yields to the sin. But Paul says, I've been crucified in Galatians 2:20. The world has also been crucified to me, and I unto the world. The body is dead because of what sin did. Our old man was crucified with Christ, Romans 6. He also declares that me and my flesh are the same. In me that's in my flesh dwells no good thing, Paul said. The flesh is the same thing as the old man. He's carnal, he's fleshly, he's bad. None is good save one, and that's Jesus Christ. He's weak, the old man. He's a slave sold under sin. He's under captivity to the law of sin. And the law of sin is like gravity. You throw a ball up in the air, and the farther it falls, the faster it goes, Brother Hill used to teach us. And our old man, he's been crucified with Jesus Christ. Why? Why was he crucified with Jesus Christ? It was that the body of sin, all of sin, might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. As long as the old man is alive and he dominates our body, we can't help but serve him. That's all we'll do. But if we know that he's dead, what power does a dead man have? What are we admonished to do then? We're admonished to live for Christ. What makes man carnal? You ever think about that? There's but one answer: sin. Now, it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me, Paul said. By one man sin entered into the world. Sin, therefore, is not the same thing as flesh or the carnal mind or the old man or the old Adam. God condemned sin in the flesh by sending his son, making him a sin offering. But it is still possible, though filled with the Holy Spirit, for anyone to drop back into all of these things of the flesh, except that he's kept by the power of God. The old man or the carnal mind is never eradicated. We have that till the time the Lord takes us out of here, by the way of the grave or by the way of the air. The old man, our old man, it's not your old man or my old man, but it's our old man, was judicially crucified, put to death with Christ on Calvary, and is held in the death state as we count that this is a fact, and that we walk in the Spirit, and that we're occupied with Christ. That's the only way. The flesh is kept in the death state as we exercise our faith in Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit once we're filled. That's what keeps us. Once God has come into our lives, we have the strength of God himself. Did you know that? You're as strong as him. Remember that in sanctification, we're made free from sin, Romans 6 says. But our human nature still retains these weak, downward tendencies, and we can fall this next minute. But Christ comes in and becomes our positive, constant sanctification and our victory over sin, over the world, over the flesh, over the devil. Because why? Christ lives in me. As we are filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can allow him to take control of our whole being and subdue the old self and develop the Christ life within us. If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live, Romans declares. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, Galatians says. Then look how God disposes of the old man and sin. They're not the same, remember that. Our old man, he was crucified with Christ. That was a judicial and it was a provisional thing. He provided that at the cross. We put our old man off. How? It's by faith. It's in the Word of God. The more we learn of the Word of God, the more we learn of Christ, and the more he comes in, the Holy Spirit does, and makes this possible. This is an experimental thing. This is an experience that we walk in this by all the different things that we go through. We do not read anywhere that sin was crucified or it was put off, but sin was condemned in the flesh. That was a judicial and a provisional thing, as I said. By reckoning on that settled fact, we're made actually experimentally free from sin. But sin has not been taken out by root or by branch. It's still there. Still sin in the flesh. It can happen as we yield to that old man. It is not said that we died to the old man either. But it is written that the old man died in Romans 6:6. Our old man is distinguished from the body or the bulk of sin in this. Sanctification can be viewed as deliverance from sin and victory in this new life. Now, what are we in Christ? What do we have in him? What is it? What he is and what does he have in us? Our acceptance. What is our acceptance of the Father in Christ? Or the new nature and the greatness of our hope for the coming age are all secured to us and provided for us through the cross of Christ. What is the scriptural ground for the freedom from sin. Think about that. What's the scriptural ground that we stand on from the freedom from sin? Well, number one, it's substitution. Because Christ died, or because of our sins. He died for, in behalf of the ungodly. He died for us, didn't he? Jesus Christ took the place of the ungodly, and he died the death that we should have died. He bore the shame that was on the sinner by tasting death for every man. He appeased the wrath of God, and he made it possible for God to justify us and still justify the ungodly who would believe on him. That's substitution. Then we have identification as a scriptural ground. As a person or our representative, as the living head of a new creation, Christ died unto the sin. And we died with Christ to the sin. As Adam was the head of the race of his fallen condition, so Christ, the last Adam, is the head of the new creation. And as the first Adam, all men died in God and became dead in trespasses and sins because we inherited Adam's sinful nature. So in Christ, all who believe on him died to the sin, his death, and we were made alive forevermore through his resurrection. This is identification. Identification is the basis of faith for deliverance from the power of indwelling sin. All provisions for deliverance from the sin has been made. All of them. Not one thing can be added to help God. Our freedom is assured. Now, if sin is not taken out or suppressed, and if the old man is not taken out root and branch, and if sin is still in our flesh, how shall we come into the conscious enjoyment and power of deliverance from sin? Here are three words that answer this question. Know, reckon, and yield. We have know, first of all, in Romans 6. And it doesn't mean, did you hear about it? But did you know that our old man is crucified with him? You've got to know this. Did you know that our old man was crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin? We have to know that. This is a fact that we will never know apart from faith in God, faith in his word. It is when you believe God that this becomes a living reality in your life, as you know these things, as you study his word. Then in Romans 6:11, we have the next word, reckon. It says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. God says that you died to sin in Christ when he died. You can't do anything more than to believe what he says and count yourself dead. We soon forget a dead man, especially if it's one we don't like. Reckon or count yourselves dead indeed. It's God's business to make the reckoning real in your life as you believe on the word of God. And he'll certainly do that. This is not a daily dying, for you died once with Christ in his death, but is a daily reckoning of the death of the old Adam nature. That old sinful nature is dead. When Jesus died on the cross, I am to count with his death. And I'm to reckon that all that sin was blotted out on the cross, and I became a new creature as I believe on him. Then it also says, reckon yourselves to be alive unto God, not just dead. It's double reckoning, dead and alive. This is equally as important as the other. And God declares, I was raised up and seated in the heavens. Everybody know where that's at? In Ephesians? I just believe what he says about me. Believe what he says. These are not just sayings. This is truth. So, we've been seated in the heavens. I believe what he says about me. And I act and I talk as one alive in Christ Jesus. I walk in that. I may not seem lively at times. I don't. But my heart rejoices over the fact of my death burial, and resurrection with Christ. We died, but we're seated with him. We're just as good in the heavens. We're just seated there. My mind is not occupied primarily with my death either, or my life, but rather with Christ himself, the one who died and rose for me. Now I am occupied not with death, but with the one who died, not with life, but with the living one. In him I am alive forevermore. Let that sink in. We're alive forevermore. Our death and life are through Jesus Christ our Lord. The new creation does the reckoning. This actual death and resurrection with Christ seem to be the most difficult facts for saints to grasp. Our death and burial and resurrection with Christ are all accomplished facts. These are facts. These do not take place when we make our consecration to God. They took place 2,000 years ago. We died with Christ then. We were raised with him then. Now, when we accept these facts as facts and appropriate them by faith, because we've studied his word, we come to a conscious deliverance from the dominion of sin and into the joy and power of such deliverance. The sinner sees that Christ died for his sins. He believes the fact and thus loses the consciousness or the guilt of sins. He no longer is guilty before God because he simply believes what God has declared, namely that Christ has taken his place and bore his sins. This faith brings him peace and a sense of favor, the favor of God, and a consciousness of his acceptance in Christ. Just so the believer sees that he died with Christ and rose with him. He reckons on God's faithfulness, and the Holy Spirit makes it real to his consciousness what he believes. The Holy Spirit's there. You see, Jesus wants us to have it all, and he'll move heaven and earth to make sure you have it. And that's why the Holy Spirit was sent. In Christ, we are just as dead to sin and just as alive to God as Christ himself. Because as he is, so are we in this world, 1 John 4 says. People do not come into victory for one of two reasons. Either they do not understand that they are already delivered. You're already delivered. They don't walk in it. Or they do not take their deliverance by faith in Christ because they never studied the word of God to see who he is. So I know these things. I reckon them, I count with God. Now, I must yield to it. We yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Literally, the yielding is not one act only, but it's a continuous attitude that we must have. Your yielding now is wholly on resurrection ground. That's the stamp. We've been crucified, died, buried, we arose again with Christ. Yield your members unto God. We constantly keep yielding every member of our body to the Lord. And he has a perfect right to manipulate every part of our being as he wills. Hath not the potter power over the clay? We enjoy full victory and liberty only as we let the Lord fully control our whole being. It's not a thing of I'm going to try. It's a thing of letting him do the work through the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what are the results of faith? You ever think about that? What's the results? We see how to possess our possessions. Now, let's look at our possessions. What do we get in this transaction? What is it that we get? Well, we have victory over sin. That's a great thing. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? Then henceforth we should walk in newness of life, and we should serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We live right, not because we must, but because of the power within that enables us to live. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will put my spirit within you, didn't he? And I'll cause you to walk in my statutes, didn't he? And you shall keep my judgments and do them. That's in Ezekiel. We no longer try to keep the law, which is an utter impossibility, but instead, the lawmaker, he keeps us by his own indwelling. Christ liveth in me, and he gave himself for me. Another result of faith is the body or the bulk of sin is annulled. It's destroyed. Sin is totally left unemployed and powerless. In his death, Jesus dealt the same blow to Satan as he did to sin. Hence, we are no longer in bondage to sin. We are lifted out of sin's realm altogether. We're not there anymore. We've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's where we need to see ourselves. For it is written that sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law or sin's realm, but you're under grace. Faith brings us and keeps us in this new realm of the Spirit where sin cannot touch us. Do you know that? If you live in the realm of grace, sin can't touch you. We are free. We're eternally free. Another result of faith is we live unto God. We now serve the righteousness of God. We serve his righteousness. Ye have your fruit unto sanctification. We are rooted in the love of God, and we walk in the Spirit, which are results of fruitfulness. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance will increasingly abound as we walk in this and we yield to the Lord. Then the glorious end is eternal life and this glorified body. Another result of faith, again we've said it, the identity with Christ. We're identified with him in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection, and his justification, his anointing with the Holy Spirit, in his service, in his sufferings, in his health, and his strength, his joy, his victories, his present priestly reign, his future kingly reign, and his eternal state. That's a result of faith. Do you know that? By having faith in God, we identify with Christ forever. Then the results of faith are the question still remains. There's a question that still remains. How should we get rid of self? How do we get rid of self? This is a sad cry of the multitudes today. They don't even know it. The Apostle Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he answers it, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But how was it through Jesus Christ? Paul tells us we died to sin. Our old man self was crucified with him. We died with Christ. Further, we were made dead to the law through the body of Christ, Romans says. I, through the law, died unto the law that I might live unto God. I have been crucified with Christ. In the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the world hath been crucified unto me, and I unto the world. See, these words show who did the dying, and it's namely we, our old man, I, and me. Who are these three parties? Self. That's how you get rid of self. You count it with Christ. It's been crucified. They declare when we died, where namely it was Christ that died in our stead, but we died with him. But he did not die when he made a full surrender, or we don't die when we make a full surrender to the old man. Jesus didn't have that. He was without sin. But when we laid all on the altar, we didn't die. That isn't when we died. We died with him 2,000 years ago. He died on Calvary. We died with him there and then and where and when? That's when we died with him at the cross. Furthermore, these words declare to what we died, namely to sin, to the world. They did not say that we died to self. Believe what God has said about self, believe that he was done with the old creation, self, or the old man, and do just what he says he has done already. It's been crucified. For ye, your old man, self, died, and your new life, our new man, is hid with Christ in God. In Romans, the 6th and 7th and 8th chapters, God gives us his full thought about sanctification. Chapter 6 shows how the deliverance from sin occurs, what attitude we must hold to obtain it. And then chapter 7 shows the power of sin. Sin is very powerful. And our utter helplessness in trying to put it down. We see self-effort on one hand, and then our glorious victory in Christ on the other, and reckoning on God's faithfulness. We are actually brought into a life of victory over sin by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Then we have the 8th chapter of Romans, which unfolds this victorious life of the walking with the Holy Spirit. Again, scripturally stated sanctification includes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And for further instruction on that, you can refer to Exodus 29, and I've got some verses here that you can look to, and also Leviticus 8, where the anointing with oil was unto sanctification there. Sanctification was to prepare for service, and according to the word of God, the anointing with the Holy Spirit is necessary to accomplish our full sanctification. Sanctification is deliverance from sin, but it is also Christ enthroned within and through the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is made unto us of God sanctification, found in 1 Corinthians 1:30. He is our holiness. We have none apart from him. No matter how free from sin we are, if we do not see that Christ's indwelling alone is our victory, we'll be defeated again and again. And Paul's testimony was, Christ liveth in me. Remember that? As to our personal experience, Christ indwelling in us is the great central doctrine of the New Testament. He lives within us. This is our sanctification. We must know these things. We must reckon them so, and then you must yield your lives to them. This is brought to us in the anointing with the Holy Spirit. There are various phrases within chapter 8 of the Holy Spirit. We walk after the Spirit of life. Mind the things of the Spirit, in the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Notice too that it's all in connection with Christ, in Christ in you. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of him that raised Jesus up from the dead. Then notice that this sanctified life is a life free from condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation to them which walk, which are in Christ. No, which are in Christ, in Christ. Then it is a life free from the law of sin and death. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Romans 8 declares. For you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. It is an experience of life and peace in Romans 8. We have the abundant resurrection life of Jesus Christ coursing through our mortal body. This is our strength. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies, on account of his Spirit that dwelleth in you. It is a life of victory over the flesh, which always lusteth against the Spirit. In Christ we are led by the Spirit and have the deep assurance of sonship with God and the bright hope of being glorified with Christ, don't we? We grow up into Christ in all things. We learn to yield to God in the sanctified life. Then the Holy Spirit, our helper, helps our infirmities, and he teaches us how to pray, how to speak to God. He groans out inexpressible prayers through us. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews says, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We look to the source of our sanctification, looking unto Jesus. This word looking means consider attentively. Consider attentively. Jesus is the author or the faith leader. He is the originator of faith. We follow him. We follow Paul as he followed Christ. Then notice, he's the completer of faith. He began the work of faith in our lives, and he's going to complete it if we yield our members to him. Then what was the joy that was set before Jesus? You know that. It was the bride, of having a bride. What is the joy that's set before us? It is that this finished work, the work be finished in our lives. God uses every circumstance in our lives to bring about the sanctification that we need to look to him for. And that is faith. We must consider Jesus attentively. What are the results of our sanctification? What are the results of that? Romans 6:22 says, "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." First, God sets us free from sin, doesn't he? And then, if he didn't, how could we become servants of God if he didn't do that? We can't serve two masters, the scriptures say. Christ on the cross set us free from the sin. We're no longer in bondage to sin. So now we become servants to God. Then we have fruit, ripe fruit, ready fruit. It's a fruit unto holiness. That speaks of our sanctification as to our state. Don't you want to have fruit? I want to give the Lord Jesus that fruit. Then the end of the course, everlasting life. If you're here Sunday night, I said eternal life is the same thing as Jesus Christ. It's the same thing. This is the conclusion of all this eternal life, and it's with Christ forevermore. Timed that perfectly. So, thank you for your attention.